Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about organizing and adapting spaces for elderly independents with Brenda Scott, who is a professional home organizer who specializes in helping seniors and their families downsize and create a safe home. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. Before we get going on this very interesting topic, I was wondering if you could introduce yourself in a bit more detail so we can learn a bit more about you.
Well, I have been doing organizing pretty much all of my life, but I didn't know it was really a job that you could get paid to do. It was just something that I loved to do. So when I retired, I decided that I needed to actually pursue this. So I acquired my training through the professional organizers in Canada. So I have that certification, and I have also received my adaptive home specialist certificate through the Canadian home builders here in Canada, so that I can help with the seniors changing some of their things in their house so that it's safer for them. So those are some of the major credentials that I have.
Great. I can't believe that you started another job, a business, after you retired.
I just didn't want to sit around.
Fair enough. I guess it is a chance for you to pursue things that you want to pursue, you know, rather than doing it for money or for career.
Yeah, people were always saying, you're really good at this. Why don't you like do it full time? And I thought they meant just as a hobby, but actually it's a lot of fun and I get a lot of fulfillment out of it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I've talked a lot about, you know, professional home organizers and talked about the services that they provide. And it's such a great job because, you know, you really get to impact people's lives directly and make them better. And particularly, I think for you is you're really helping to improve people's lives in such a substantial way and also protect them and help them to live in their houses for longer. But before we do get into that in a bit more detail, we're going to get to know you a bit better with a section we call Have You Met Brenda? So the first thing we'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book, I would have to say anything written by James Patterson. He's an amazing storyteller, and I really like the suspense novels. I can get totally lost in them and totally lose track of all time. Just a good book is the best.
I read his Maximum Bride series as a kid, and oh, they were so good. I really loved them. His other books.
I can picture them as movies. Like, I'm not sure why he doesn't make them all into movies, because they're so good.
I think it might be a lot more work to make them into movies.
Probably.
And speaking of movies, have you seen any movies that you've enjoyed recently?
I haven't really gone to a theater to see movies. I'm more of a TV at home kind of girl, but definitely any of the superheroes or Harry Potter. I'm kind of a nerd that way. Anything superhero.
Mm-hmm. after my own heart. I love all those movies. Is there one that you've watched recently? Have you seen the new Spider-Man movie?
I haven't seen the new Spider-Man movie. I'm actually looking forward to see the House of Dragons series. Because that's supposed to be coming out. Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in September. So hopefully that happens. I'm not sure if the writer's strike will do anything with that, but see what happens.
Hopefully, you do get to see it sooner rather than later, or at all, hopefully.
Yeah, or at all, yes.
Yeah. And do you listen to any podcasts?
I'm listening to a couple right now. The first one is Mel Robbins' podcast with Mel Robbins. She's a world famous motivational speaker and author. I really like her approach. It's really refreshing and her guests are great. I always learn something about myself afterwards. And the other one I listen to is Chill and Prosper with Denise Duffield Thomas. I believe she's also from Australia. She has great tips and advice for small business owners. So that is something that I enjoy listening to.
Definitely. That's good. It's always good to learn podcasts, I think, for specific things. For small business owners, I think everyone wants to start a business in some way. So thank you for sharing that.
Sometimes people have hobbies that they turn into little side businesses. So it's nice to know how to go about doing that.
And do you have a role model?
I don't, not at this time. I watch a lot of people, I follow them, but I don't really have a role model.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that, we can learn so many things from so many different people. Why would you just have one role model when you could, learn from so many people?
Definitely.
And have you completed any courses that have inspired you?
I've taken a few courses to add to my little toolbox of organizing skills, but one that I completed recently was the Sacred Money Archetypes that was put on by Denise Duffield Thomas. It was really interesting because it helped you understand where your clients are coming from, how they're thinking, just to understand them a little bit more. And also it gave you advice on why some approaches might work better for other people. So it was a good course to really make you think about who your ideal client is.
Interesting. Thank you. So,
you're welcome.
Thank you. So how do you define home organization?
Good question. I would say home organization is being organized enough so that your home functions smoothly. It's putting those systems in place that work for your unique needs and wants, and then switching it up if it doesn't work, to find a right solution for you, because everybody is unique and one size doesn't fit all. So being organized enough for you is what I would think it would be.
And a bit of trial and error as well, make everything, to try everything and, see what works for you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely trial and error. It's not something that you do it once and it's going to work. It may. You may be lucky, but a lot of times it's trial and error.
And are there any misconceptions about home organization?
There's a couple of big ones. One I've come across is people think that if they buy some containers, they'll be organized. And that's huge because not only are they expensive, but they might not fit the spot that you want. And a lot of times people don't realize that containers are just meant to contain stuff. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. They don't sort or edit for you. They just hold stuff. So you really have to sort and edit first before you even buy a container, because then you know how much stuff is going to go in it. So how big it's going to be. Because you could have a whole shelf unit full of gorgeous totes, but they're full of random bits and bobs that you've just thrown in there. And that's not organization. That's just out of sight, out of mind. So that's the first misconception. The other one is, like I mentioned before, people think you do it once and it's done. And that's totally frustrating, because you think, oh, I've put this room together, it should stay that way. But that doesn't happen, because organizing is a really daily task that has to fluctuate with your life changes. People bring more stuff in, stuff goes out, our storage needs change. You might be changing jobs, so you no longer need all the stuff that went with it, like a uniform or suits. Maybe you don't need those anymore, so they can go. But maybe it's more like sports or hobbies. So things come in, things go out, and you have to find what works for you. And it's constant, because things are always changing. That might not be the spot that works anymore, so it goes over here. It's not one and done, definitely.
Mm. And so you mentioned, you know, that as jobs change, you know, you might, maybe you retire and, you know, you no longer have a job. And so your needs change for your environment. So I'm guessing that, you know, as you age, you know, what you need changes as well in your home. So what kinds of, you know, what are some other changes that might happen that people need to make changes to their home for?
And other changes would be definitely a change in their health, a change, their vision might start to be weakened, their balance, their mobility, their hearing. There is a lot of different things that our bodies are changing. Also, your financial, your bank account might be changing. So you have to be a little more careful with how you spend your money. So those are some major changes that are happening as we age.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to be talking about today is how we adapt and organize spaces for elderly independence. So I think we need to go maybe into some definitions first. So how do you what is aging in place?
Aging in place is being able to live where your wants and your needs are met, that feels like a home and lets you live as independent as possible, regardless of your age, your income, or your abilities.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that some of the changes that people go through as they age include, you know, loss of vision or not quite as good vision, and also, you know, some physical changes. So what changes need to be made to the home to accommodate this?
There's quite a long list. Some are small, some are quite extensive. I would start with the entrance to the home. Are there steps? Do they have handrails? So if they have steps and you're able to do them, make sure there's a handrail on both sides. Or can you make it a ramp? that helps people get into the home. Other changes are making the doorways wider or the hallways wider, increasing the lighting, grab bars in the bathroom area, curbless showers, so you can walk right in. You don't have to walk over something. Adjustable shower heads. A lot of people don't realize that they may be sitting in the bathtub or in the shower, and they can't reach the shower head that is fixed to the wall. And maybe they need a full down seat in it. Some other ones are, if you have interior stairs, once again, you need handrails, maybe even lighting on the steps. One big one that a lot of people don't think about is making sure that there's a bedroom and a bathroom on the main level, because trying to maneuver and climb stairs could be a problem. Some other ones would be having really simple controls for the heating. Some of those programmable thermostats take a lot of understanding. The manuals can be very difficult to read, so you need to install something that's really simple to understand. And a couple more, the appliances. If you've got a washer and dryer, make the get a model that's got the controls on the front so that it's easy for them to reach. And that's the same for stoves. Instead of having the controls at the far, at the back by the wall, have it at the front so they can reach it. And two more, I'm thinking security systems and the doorbell cameras. They're huge. That way, they're not answering the door without knowing who's there. And there's a lot of scary senior scams going around. So if they can feel confident that they're not letting a stranger in, and that's accomplished by having the camera readout or whatever you call it near them, and they can answer and talk to them, but still have the door closed. I think that's a major technical advance that a lot of seniors should take advantage of. So those are the major ones. There's lots of little ones.
Gosh, there's a lot there that you just said.
There is a lot.
I'm hoping. Yes. Do you need to do all of these things to everyone's houses? Or is it, you know, you maybe take, you know, half of that list and you apply it to one person's house, and you can take the other half of the list to someone else's house? Yeah. Does it depend on?
Yeah, it depends on what they need. Their vision might be fine, so they don't need increased lighting. Their mobility might be fine. It just might mean that they need the wider doors because they have a little walker. It comes down to doing the assessment and seeing what they need. Definitely they don't need all of them, because that would be a major renovation, but a few here and there would make their life so much better.
And quite a few of them seem to be quite practical, even just for everyone. I remember in high school, my friend broke her foot, and she had to sleep in her brother's room for a couple months because she couldn't get up the stairs. So it seems like having a ground floor bedroom and bathroom is just a sensible thing to have.
A lot of them are sensible, and it's not just the people that may be aged and starting to get frail, but like you said, if you have an accident and you're a teenager or middle-aged or a child, a lot of these things would definitely make their life easier until they're over their recovery.
Mm. And also the other one, which surprised me, was you said people have the controls on the back of the stove rather than the front. And that just seems like a burn waiting to happen.
Definitely a burn waiting to happen. And also, if they're trying to balance themselves, they may put one hand on the stove while they reach back and turn it off. And chances are you're going to put your hand on something hot.
Yeah, that just sounds very dangerous in general.
Yeah.
So it seems like quite a few of those changes that you were recommending. Obviously, it depends on what you're having and what you need, but it can be quite expensive. Would you say that, most of the time they need a big renovation, or is it, you can adapt everything quite easily?
I think it depends on the age of the home. If there's room to expand a doorway, if there's structural things in the way that they can't, then yeah, it gets really expensive, especially if they're opening up a bathroom. Maybe they're taking a spare bedroom and making the bathroom large enough. It can get pricey. But if there's a way to do it safely without moving walls, that's definitely the way to go. Because like you said, renovations can get very pricey. But if you can start with the things that you can afford and then go from there.
And so we've talked a lot about how to adapt the home environment to make it easier for elderly people to move around. But what are some things that we can do organization-wise to make it easier for them to keep organized and be comfortable and safe in their house?
I would think it would definitely start with helping them declutter, sort, and edit their stuff. Because as we know, the longer you stay in a house, the more stuff you get. So if they've been in there for a while, then they've accumulated a lot of stuff. So you definitely need to help them see what they really use and need and remove the excess. So that's the number one thing that we can do to help them make it easier. Another one is make systems that work for them. They're specific in how they like things. So make it for them. If they like the Christmas stuff over here, then you put the Christmas stuff there. Not how you think it should be, but how they think it should be. And definitely label bins. Don't expect them to remember that that's where the item is. Label it large font. On the bins, on all sides, that will help them to understand where something is as opposed to trying to remember where somebody told me it was. And if large font isn't something that's going to help them, ask them how they would find the item. If they're looking for paperwork or Christmas decorations or something like that, if maybe a symbol is something that would trigger their memory and make more sense to them, then put a symbol on it. Or if English isn't their primary language, then write it in the language that they speak. Make it so that they can find it again. Definitely keep what they need and use. Another one that I try and tell my seniors to do, or ask them to do, is to re-gift or hand down all the keepsakes before they pass, because they're not using them usually, and they're able to make space, and they're able to see it live a new life with the new owners. It may be a clock to their granddaughter. And now they get to see the granddaughter's love of it. They wouldn't have been able to see that if they waited until after the funeral. So hand down the heirlooms now if you're not using them. That's a big one. Definitely reduce any of the paper coming in. All the flyers, all the newspapers, all the magazines, all the advertisements. Try and stop that before it comes in, because I've seen 95% of the clutter in a senior's home is mail, is all the newspapers.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot, because they'll keep it. They'll think, oh, I'm going to read it later, or I'm going to refer to it later, or I'm going to do the puzzle in it later. And it piles up. I'm helping a client right now, lives by herself. She loves to do the crossword puzzles, but she doesn't let anything go paper-wise. In two visits, I've done 29 pounds of recycling.
Wow.
It's amazing. You don't realize it's there, but once you pull it all together, and we're not even finished. So definitely reduce any paper coming in. It's huge. The last one I would say is, to make it easier for our seniors, the family has to make an effort to visit regularly. It will give them some social. It will also help you see what they're going through and help them keep on top of it. If they don't have visitors, it just sits there and they don't really see it. But if you're able to come over and say, you know, starting getting a little messy, we need to do this, and then they'll go along with it. So you definitely, if they can have a visit, they can keep on top of their clutter, they can keep on top of their home repairs. And what I do for my dad, he's living by himself, is every couple of weeks I go over and I clear out his email on his computer, because he just lets it sit there and it just builds and builds. And I'm going, Dad, what's all this on here? And he goes, I don't know. So it's just, you know, checking on them is major, and that makes it easier for them. They don't feel like they're all alone.
It sort of reminds me of the fact that I keep my place tidy, but I tend to declutter a little bit more when I know that the rental inspector is going to come around and see my place. And it's sort of like spurring me into actually getting rid of the piece of cardboard that's been sitting in the back of the room for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's like when you know your parents are coming over, you do a clean sweep. Let's make it look tidy, even though it hasn't looked
exactly
like that since the last time they've been.
Except now I guess it's the opposite. So instead of with your parents, it's now you going to their house.
Exactly.
So you mentioned as well that, so stopping paper so it doesn't build up, and that seems a bit like a fire hazard. Is what we're trying to do, is what you're trying to do when you're, you know, going in and organizing and adapting the house, is it not just making it easier for them to live, but also safer?
Oh, definitely safer. Not only for a fire hazard, but also for a health hazard, because if they're letting things build up, it's usually on the floor, in the corners, so that they can move around. So you may not see a water leak. You may not see a spilled item of food. And then we all know that leads to some rodents or pests. So if you can't see, then you don't know what's there. And it can cause some health risks, obviously, because you know, they're going to be breathing in fumes. There might be mold growing if the water has been sitting there for any length of time, especially if it's near the paper, you'll start to have things decomposing. And it's definitely a health and safety risk by having the clutter and not being able to see everything.
Yes. I don't like the idea of sharing a house with rodents or cockroaches.
No, I don't think anybody does. But a lot of people don't even see them, obviously, because that's what they do, until the stuff is moved out. And then you can see the droppings and it's been there all along.
Okay, so yeah, visiting regularly to keep an eye on things and to tidy up things as you see them, and help them to tidy up and to keep everything maintained. Are there any habits that you can recommend that we can help seniors to develop, maybe that are a little bit different from what they used to do?
I would say they might not have always had a problem with being disorganized. It just comes with being less active. So if they can create a home for everything, that's one of the things that I try and help my clients is, where do these scissors belong? Where does that book belong? Where does your purse belong? Where do you want it to live? And that's where it needs to go. So if you can make a decision of where your shoes need to stay, where your remote control needs to stay, that way you know where it should be and where it needs to go. If you happen to start to lose a little bit of your memory and you're not really sure where you thought it was going to go, then just, if they put a label on the spot, like say, this is the mail spot, put a label that says mail and then another label that says remote, make the cues or the reminders easy for them. It might not be pretty to look at, but they need to be able to understand where things go. And if they're starting to lose some of the memory, then just label it. It's not a big deal. So definitely label, find a home, reduce that paperwork. That's one thing. They don't need all the papers. They need to read it, get it out of there. Another one that I like to encourage them to do is, they don't need to make big meals anymore, because it's usually just one person or two people. It's sometimes hard to do that because items in the grocery store are usually 2-for-1, or a large turkey is less expensive than a small one, so they buy the big one. But really look at making small, simple meals that don't have a lot of leftovers. I know that's kind of contrary to what most people say, but if you're not going to eat the leftovers, you're going to end up throwing them out. So if you forget that you have leftovers because they're shoved in the back, they're going to be thrown out. They don't last forever. Or if people say, oh, I'm going to freeze part of this after I make one meal, if you can remember to eat that frozen meal, then it's good, but chances are you'll forget that it's in there. So the seniors, if they can make small, simple meals as opposed to what they used to make, they'll save a lot of money and save a lot of heartache, because somebody's going to have to go through that freezer full of frozen meals that are going to have to be thrown out. I would always recommend that they remove their garbage and their recycling as soon as possible. It's not, oh, I'm going to leave it there and I'll get it later. It's like, okay, you need to take it out now. And if they can hire out the deep cleaning, And any lawn maintenance or home handy stuff, they need to have a trusted handyman that they can call if a family member can't drop by. It's amazing when you think that something as simple as changing a light bulb to us is nothing. To a senior that can't do it, they'll be sitting in the dark or they'll go into another room because they can't change it and nobody's coming over to change it. It's little things like that that they need to have definitely a trusted person that they can call and take that off their plate and live a little bit less maintenance, less less worry for them.
And also less worry for family as well.
Definitely. If they know that they can't get to mom or dad, they might even be able to call the handyman and said, you know, they need help with this, you know, we'll pay you, go over and do that, you know. So just having that in their back pocket is such a relief, definitely.
So is there anything else that, you know, we haven't talked about that you would like to touch on?
When it comes to family and friends, some things that they can do to help their senior family member. We've talked about, you know, the regular visits, the phone calls, inspecting the homes. Another thing we didn't talk about is the adult children need to take their crap with them. Instead of leaving it at their parents' house because they don't want to move it, their parents aren't a warehouse. Take your stuff with you. So that's one of the major things. They don't need to have your trophies from grade 4. They don't need to have your sporting equipment that you no longer want. Tell them that or take it with you. Just take it away.
I feel called out.
Do you have stuff at your parents' home?
Personally, I have one box. It is only sentimental things. And I will take it one day when I have storage. That's my justification.
Well, one box is better than a whole closet full.
I did have to, we've moved countries, so I've had to get rid of a lot of stuff rather than keep it. But that's great advice. Because I know that when my partner was moving out, he just left all his things. And when his parents were moving, they were like, you know, do you want this? Do you want that? And he was like, I don't care. Just throw it out. But I don't think it's really fair on them to have to deal with all his books and all his clothes that he doesn't want to look at anymore.
Yeah, it's hard because the parents are usually the ones that paid for it. So they're going, well, I can't throw it out. I spent so much money on it. We need to do something else. Oh, I'll just keep it. Maybe you'll change your mind, you know. And usually you don't change your mind, but you feel obligated to keep it because it was expensive.
So, yeah, take it, kids or adult kids, take your parents' things or your things that your parents have and find a good home for it where they can't see what you've done with it.
Definitely.
Is there anything else that, you know, friends and family can do to help seniors in their homes?
No, I think that's just about it. Just make sure that you're checking up on them regularly. If you are concerned about their mental health, take them out for a social. Get them involved with some other senior groups. Show them that there is activities that they can do with other seniors as opposed to waiting for a visit from a friend. They can actually go out and get involved. So try and keep them social.
Mm-hmm. That actually reminds me of a family friend we have who's quite elderly now, and my dad showed her how to use Uber. She was thrilled. She had no idea. She could just use her phone to call someone. Yeah. And so she was started using it a lot. So she was going to visit her friends in different places without having to drive because she couldn't drive anymore.
Yeah, I was that lady that I'm helping. I said, there's a service that will bring your groceries to you. There is? And I said, yes, there is. You go on the computer. She's pretty good with the computer. And I said, you can pick your groceries. You can tell them when you want it and they bring it to you. She goes, I didn't know that. And I said, oh my goodness. Like, there's that and so much more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're now spoiled for choice in terms of things you can have delivered to your home.
Yeah, sometimes you can get too much.
Yes, that's definitely true. So what's a practice that you do in your own home to keep it organized?
What I do is a quick tidy up before bedtime. I know a lot of people, they just want to relax, but that's kind of my relaxing. I tidy up before bed so that everything is in their home. The dishes are washed, and that includes putting them away. The counters are clean and cleared. So what I'm doing is I'm setting myself up for the morning so that everything is complete. I look at my calendar for the next day, see what I need to do. So if I need to make a lunch, I get that ready. Definitely always plug in all your devices, plug in your phones, and set the alarm so you can actually have some breathing space before you actually have to get out the door. So that's what I like to do. I get everything done and calm and clean so that when I wake up in the morning, there's nothing telling me I need to do this. There's nothing in the way.
Mm. Yes, I did that for a short while. I actually found it really useful and really great. And then I just fell out of the habit. But it sounds like you do a little bit more than I was doing. I was doing about 5 minutes. How long would you recommend people, tidy up before bed?
Depends on how much you've got to tidy up. I typically will tidy up right after I've done the dishes. So it's what I call habit stacking, so that you're doing one thing, but it includes two. So it doesn't feel like you're doing two things. It's just a reminder that, oh, when the dishes are done, I wipe the counters and I fill my water bottle, make my lunch. It's just, it kind of rolls into one. The habit becomes routine and you don't really think about it. So if I'm watching a movie after the dishes and I don't get it tidied up, I will do it during the commercials, or I will pause the movie and do a quick 5 minute thing and go back and watch it and then pause again and go back and finish the rest. So you're not pushing your bedtime further. You're just getting things done kind of stacked and together.
Because my problem was that I'd forget to do it, and then it'd be like 12 o'clock and I'm like, I'm so tired, I want to go to bed. And then I'd be like, oh, I've got to do the 5 minute tidy. Oh, I'm too tired, I'll do it tomorrow. And then, gradually it would just sort of fall by the wayside. Okay, so that's a great idea though, because, I do have to obviously, clean the kitchen after dinner. So I'll just do it straight after that.
Yeah, just stack it together and it won't seem like you've got a whole list of things to do. They're the one and the same.
Great. Thank you. I'll have to start doing that again. So we'll move on to the audience questions. We've got a few today. So our first question is, what are some common areas in a home that often require adaptations for elderly individuals? And how can I prioritize these changes effectively?
I would say it's mostly the bathroom and the kitchen. The bathroom definitely needs to be top priority because you need to be able to do your personal hygiene safely. And the kitchen, obviously, you need to be able to feed yourself. So the bathroom, see if they're having problems getting up and down off of the toilet or in and out of the shower. See if they're pushing up or pushing against the wall to hold themselves. And that's an indication that they could use some grab bars so that they have a better grip and they can actually pull themselves up and down. Just observe them and see what they're doing and what can make it better. So it's definitely the bathrooms because we're doing a lot of stuff in a small room. The kitchen, can they prepare a meal easily? Can they get to the pots and pans? Can they get to the food? Can they do it without hurting themselves? Can they do it independently? So definitely observe them and see what changes you could do to help them do it safely.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. I think it's easy as well, you know, to start off with maybe one or two rooms, and the most important rooms, obviously, and then work your way out from there.
Definitely. Yeah. You do the most important ones because the living room, you can move furniture, you can make the pathways a little bit wider, like by taking a chair away, that taking a rug away so they're not tripping. But if they can't independently do self-care, then that's the major stumbling part. And you can get really, things can get out of hand quickly if they're not cleaning themselves properly or being able to use the washroom properly.
Definitely. So our second question from the audience is, what role does decluttering and organizing play in creating a more manageable and accessible home environment?
It plays a part in things are where they need to be without being in the way. Having an organized home means that you can have your stuff there, but still live and still manage. It means having enough stuff that you can eat, you can wash your clothes, you can sleep, but not enough that you have to walk around bins. So if you can organize so that their life is better, it just makes it easier for them to stay in that place without having to have extra help.
And our third question today is, how can I address the emotional aspects of downsizing or transitioning to more suitable living arrangements, ensuring they feel supported and involved in the decision-making process?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of seniors don't like change. So if you're asking someone to downsize or move into a senior facility, you have to treat them with respect, listen to what they're saying, but really give them the space to tell you what they're feeling. Explain to them, okay, we're downsizing because of this, because you need extra care, you can't manage this. It's really helpful if everybody's on the same page. If you've got the family, you've got the individual, you may have to pull in their business manager if they've got an accountant or a bank manager to show them the numbers, to really sit down and discuss what they want. Downsizing is a great option if the changing of the home isn't available. They may be renting a home, so they can't put grab bars up or change the width of the doorways, or they just don't have the money to do that. Retirement homes are expensive, but so is moving. So if everybody can talk through it, sometimes it means bringing in somebody that's not emotionally connected to it, like myself or a real estate agent or a caregiver or we have what we call occupational therapists or professional support workers. If everybody's brought in and say, okay, this is what they're going to need and this is what your current home is able to do, if that's not something that's in line, that, okay, we're going to have to downsize, and listen to what they're saying by saying, well, I don't want to live too far away, or I don't want to change neighborhoods, or I want to have a garage, you know, all these little things. Keep that in mind and be respectful. It's their life. It's where they want to live. And try not to get insulted if they start to get angry, because it's emotional for them and it's personal. And if you have to bring in an outside help to bring the tension down, then do that.
Okay, so make sure that they're involved in the decision-making process, but also involve, you know, some third parties to sort of help to get them to understand and bring in some other opinions.
Definitely, because a lot of seniors still take on the role as the parent, and they don't like being told by their children what to do. So if you can bring in another person, maybe they'll be saying the same thing, but it's just not their kids that are saying it.
Yes, I have trouble being told what to do by my brother, who is younger than me. So I can see how bringing in someone else can help to ease the tension in the situation.
It's definitely tricky, and you have to do it slowly. Like, you can't say, oh, we're moving in a month. You know, you need to build into it, because a lot of times you'll be decluttering in order to downsize. So it takes time. You can't rush it. Unless there's a physical accident and they need to leave now, like if they've gone to the hospital and they can't return to the house, they have to go into a facility. Or they need to have the house decluttered so that they can go back to the house. Unless there's an emergency, you need to give it time. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. So we'll move on to the open mic section now. So that's where you get to talk about something that you're passionate about. It can be related to the topic, but it doesn't have to be. Did you have something in mind?
I did. I wanted to address the whole idea of the home construction that we see right now. I would love to see a new standard of homes being built so that they already have these accessibility features in them, like the single-level homes, the ground-level front entrance and back entrance. So there is no stairs. There is no ramp. You just walk right in. The wider doorways, all of the things that I mentioned. They may not have to have the grab bars in, but the walls are made so that you can put them anywhere. There's support in the walls so that if time you want to put a grab bar up, you know anywhere on that wall you can put one. So that maybe pocket doors instead of the swinging doors. Levers on the doors instead of the turn knobs. So there's so many different things that the builders can do to make the homes last longer and be more accessible to everybody. It's kind of weird that they aren't doing that. You have to actually ask for it to be done. And it's time that they do that because the old standards are not serving anybody anymore other than a small amount of people because the aging population is getting larger. They're living longer, so they're going to use their homes longer. So we need to make the homes work for people in the long term.
And I mean, the thing is that, you know, I as an able-bodied person who is quite young, can still use all of these things. You know, a single level home isn't going to inconvenience me. So why wouldn't we make it accessible for everyone, not just me, for example?
Yeah, exactly. And the security systems, the doorbell, the remote curtains, just all of the tech stuff works for everybody. So it's easier to build it from the ground up than having to rejig some older stuff.
Definitely. I would love to see some more accessible housing being put up. But I know in Australia, we're struggling to build safe housing just in general. Or good housing. So hopefully we can get some changes in Australian housing, both in terms of insulation and also in terms of home safety and adaptability.
You don't have insulation in your homes?
A lot of them don't. It's just not required. So I've heard of Canadians coming from a very cold country, coming to Australia and being shocked at how cold our houses are, even though it doesn't get nearly as cold.
Yeah, I think we often think that just because it's a warmer climate, that the walls don't need to be insulated. But I've traveled to Mexico and Jamaica, and it does get chilly at night. So it would be helpful if the houses were insulated.
And I mean, insulation works both ways. It helps to keep it cooler as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the heat stays out. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, that's an Australian problem that we've discussed on this podcast before. So thank you for sharing that. I think that is very much something that we should be working towards in every country, not just, Australia and Canada. So thank you for bringing that up. And if our listeners want to find out more about you and your business, where can they find you?
They can find me at my website, which is tidymyspace.ca. I'm also on all the social channels. So I'm on Instagram with the same name, tidymyspace.ca. I've got a couple accounts on Facebook. You can do my personal one where I have a lot of behind the scenes kind of personal posts, which is just my name, Brenda Everett Scott, or Tidy My Space. And LinkedIn is Brenda Scott.
Thank you. And we'll put those in the show notes so everyone can find them nice and easy. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.